This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Take this woman as your lawful wedded wife.
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
Hello and welcome to With This Ring. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host, Cindy Everett.
And we are on the 28th edition of our podcast. And today we will be kind of a little double podcast. We'll be closing down the...
Double podcast?
Well, two segments maybe.
Okay.
Closing down the GWCW project.
Okay.
And also looking at the career of the number one...
Right.
I mean, I picked the number one and the... Draft, the list is coming up, but I'm pretty confident saying
yes.
The number one greatest WCW wrestler of all time.
Yeah,
the Nature
well
Boy.
Earned.
Yeah, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Absolutely.
So do you want to go over like my list first, or should we do that, hold that till the end?
It's up to you. You can do the list first.
Okay.
I didn't do the list.
Right, yeah. It'd be a little short.
How many did you rank? 100?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's not go through all 100.
No.
Can I, tell the screen away, see if I can guess. We do it like family funerals, where we can get like four out of the four services. Well, Ric Flair's number one.
Yep.
You probably have Vader up there pretty high.
Pretty high.
What's his ranking?
Three.
Oh, okay. I think I saw two as Sting.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a solid 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I thought like... Sting was just there the whole time, so I thought he deserved that number two spot over Vader, who had a much... I mean, really, Vader was only there for about, well, I guess, about four years. But he was, like, always big.
Right.
Big time.
Do you have Brian Pillman in your top 10?
Yes.
Oh.
He snuck in there.
What about Mick Foley?
Mick Foley was a little... Where did I end up with him? They put him...
Okay, must not be that high.
Oh, 16.
Okay.
16.
Steve Austin in your top 10?
No, he wasn't top 10. He was number 13.
Okay, I'll make one more guess and you can just tell me. Why don't you just tell me the name of your top wrestlers? Oh, jeez. I don't, just tell me your 4 and 5.
4 was Ricky Steamboat, and 5 was Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson's pretty high. Wow,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Ricky Steamboat, that's a good... That's how I'm just going to look now. Or anything else you want to mention?
Not really. Kind
Barry Windham's number 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of want good. Hulk Hogan, I...
Hollywood Hogan.
Yes, well, mainly his NWO run, just for historical significance.
Yeah, DDP, Bobby Eaton, Booker T... I mean, Randy Savage, I guess he had his kind of already on the during part of his career by the time he was in WCW. Yeah. No, very good. Dusty Rhodes, that was going to be one of my guesses. Magnum TA. Yeah. When you get down, you're going to lose me a little bit.
Yeah.
The Great Muta. We saw something with him.
Yep.
Sergeant Slaughter, Terry Funk. How long did Terry Funk really fight in WCW?
Yeah, he could probably be higher.
Well, I mean, any given day, you could look at this and make
couple changes.
You should make a couple of different lists and average them all out. Who was the very last one? I know.
Steve Mongo McMichael.
Oh, okay. The football player, right?
Yeah. Former Bear.
Yeah, is that why he's on the list?
Partly. I mean, I like the character that he had as a four horseman.
Nice.
Wasn't a good wrestler at all, but...
Good character
yeah,
from Chicago. He's
exactly.
gonna
especially if you're, you gotta go all the way down to 100.
No, you don't have. Did you have to?
Yeah, I think. I mean,
right. But you make it sound like it's binding obligation of yours.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, you do it for the love of wrestling. You, honestly, you'd probably be doing it anyways. I'm sure you've made lists like that of your own.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Not this officially, like, ranked and stuff, though.
You've definitely had your own unofficial rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Going on for a while, so. Good.
Where did I put that? The list. I just closed it out accidentally.
Anything else you want to highlight on it?
No, not really. Just kind of, I guess, the highest of the cruiserweight kind of would be Rey Mysterio. Yeah, Rey Mysterio and then Eddie Guerrero right below him. Chris Jericho, I have at 22 right above Nash and Hall, who I kind of thought had to be ranked together.
Oh.
Because tag team.
Very, okay.
Yep.
If you think, if you say so. Roddy Piper. I know Roddy Piper was in.
Yeah, well, he was in early, NCW. Like, NWA 1983. And then he came back in, like, 97.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we've never really talked about WCW, like, overall the company.
Yeah.
Because it's, actually we did a little bit at the beginning. Like, it started out kind of a small Southeastern Atlanta-based promotion.
And right. Then, it grew.
And when did they start Nitro?
That was 95.
Oh, okay. So relatively late.
Yeah. I mean, all things considered, it was later in the company's overall history.
Right. And then by 2000, they were doing Super Sloppy Double Dare on South Padre Island.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that was not... It was... Sad time. And then 1 year later, again on South Padre Island, it was the last ever Nitro.
Oh, really?
Yes. Where it was announced that Vince McMahon had bought them.
Like at the beginning of the show?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And then then at the end of the show, like, Vince was in Raw, in Cleveland for Raw, and they were, like, having a simulcast at Nitro and Raw, and then Shane McMahon came out at Nitro and said that he bought WCW.
Oh, yeah.
And that started a feud, but that was really the end of the real WCW.
Gotcha. And what happened to Eric Bischoff and Tony Schiavone after that?
Well, Eric Bischoff left, like, had kind of been gone for a few weeks, or a few months beforehand, and then he actually showed up in the WWE in June of 2002.
Mm.
As Vince McMahon hired him to be the general manager of Raw.
Oh.
So he was there
for... Real or a storyline?
Storyline.
Okay. Because so nobody really would hire him.
Well, eventually he did.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah. But this was just, like, just an on-screen talent error. And he did that for about 5 years.
That's a long time to have, like, a...
Yeah.
That's like a gig.
And then he came back... 3 years ago, I think, to be, like, the head showrunner of SmackDown, and lasted there about 7 weeks and then was fired.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
So they weren't very impressed with his work, I guess.
Well, yeah. What about the only other name I, like, announced the name is Tony Schiavone.
Well, Tony Schiavone, like, was, by the end of Nitro, was fed up with WCW and hated, basically hated wrestling for a while, and then... 3 years ago, came back to AEW. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's the lead announcer on AEW.
AEW's been around for 3 years already?
Two and a half, yeah.
Jeez, time is meaningless.
It started in October of 2019.
Then everyone got a little distracted.
Yeah, everyone, yeah.
So, damn.
Yeah.
Time is a flat circle.
Yep.
It's always going to be... WWE and a rival.
And some rival on a Turner product, on a Turner network.
Yeah, well, the universe is back in balance. It's a lot of balance with just WWE for a little bit.
Yep.
Well, good for that. We're going to do an AEW watch?
Not yet. I need to
kind of build up our catalog.
We got to get a free, put everything on HBO Max. It's all in the...
Is it?
I think so. Turner, Time Warner...
Oh, okay.
I think they're all under the same umbrella.
Like two or three companies now, so
yeah,
I'm sure
it's one of them.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Well, good for him, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Glad he's back to liking wrestling. He's over the scars of WCW.
Yeah, it was really like a podcast that kind of like, he started doing a podcast and like was shocked that people actually like cared about him.
Oh.
And then he kind of like started getting into it again. And
well, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Back to his true love through podcasting. It's nice.
Yeah. So we will take a short break here, and we will be back to talk about The Nature Boy. All right, real quick before we keep going, we're going to want to tell you about some of the great things on the Place to Be Nation. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. We have plenty of great content for you here at the Place to Be. The Place to Be Podcast, the mothership of the Place to Be Nation, where co-hosts JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE.
PTB and Main Event with hosts Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Will breaking down all the current events in the world of wrestling.
Talking WCW heads to Center Stage Theater where Tim Capel, Greg Phillips, Jennifer Smith pay tribute to the legendary promotion from the Dirty South.
Do we do a promo for our own?
No, we can skip that one.
Highway to the Impact Zone, where Logan Crossland and Jacob Williams discuss the era of TNA, starting with the birth of the Impact TV show.
The NWA Saturday Special, where Scott Criscolo and George Dr. G. Ribello talk both current and classic National Wrestling Alliance.
Plus, monthly WWE PPV reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, PTB NXT, Adam's Division, Special Relations, Chicken Salad, Senior Video, NWA Crock and Roll, Extreme Resurrection, and more.
Yeah. And also, make sure to listen to our quad of pods. We have the PTB Pop Experience. It's all about pop culture. We have the best in TV, movies, comics, trivia shows, and much more.
Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and more. If you are interested in doing a pop culture podcast, Jenny wants to talk to you. Reach out to her on Twitter at JennyPosition to learn more.
Also make sure to join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with the North-South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes.
Also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure to join the Rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture.
Our 2021 stress project is determining the greatest NWA/WCW wrestler of all time. Go to facebook.com/GWCW and join the group to discuss nominees.
And make sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, Paulie's Perspective, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey.
And if you're doing some online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. And it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the show. All right, and we are back. And now it is time to talk about the fitting end to the GWCW project, I think.
Absolutely. I can't talk about WCW without talking about Ric Flair.
Right.
We already watched a good amount of his matches.
Right, this was kind of the...
So how did you pick these matches specifically that we didn't cover with other people?
Didn't cover with other people, and I also wanted to get like a full range
of
his career. So we got from 1982 all the way to 2000. So,
although that last one, I don't think...
That wasn't... The height of Ric Flair powers, obviously.
No, well, like I said, that was... They were barely on camera. It was the super sloppy match.
You're right.
Lex Luger.
Yeah, it was the beach brawl between the salsa ball bowl.
The salsa bowl?
Yeah.
Who called it that? Was that, like, what it was called?
That was... Tony Schiavone said he, like, hit him with the salsa bowl or something at one point.
And hit surfboards, but we're...
Yeah.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Right.
And that's true. I guess we did watch... We watched some other Magnum TA, but that was the first and only time I had heard the names... Jack Briscoe, Ron Garvin.
Right.
So, yeah, so we started early, 1982.
Yep.
And it was already, like, a good promo. You can already see that he has a lot of talent. I thought Jack Briscoe was really talented.
Yeah, well, he was a former world champ and stuff.
Oh,
so he was, like, he was kind of on the back end of his career here, but he was probably, like, mid-30s. It wasn't like he was, you know, retiring age.
Gotcha. How old was Ric Flair at this time? I know I'm asking this like a
good Yeah, I think...
Don't really remember.
40, I want to say he was born in 47.
Oh, jeez. Really?
No, maybe 49. I think it's 49.
What's probably one of those not really sure?
Right. Well, I think they know approximately when he was born. Let's see. Yeah, he's 72 right now. So in 82, he would have been 33.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, even then, he was, like, not young, but...
He's just kind of ageless to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like he didn't really age between 1982 to, like, 1995. And then he started to get, like, a little old and saggy.
Right.
But, yeah, he was, like, a pretty consistent shape.
Yeah, he always... And, I mean, he was never, like, overly muscled, but he always had, like, great cardio and could
right.
go for 45 minutes in a match.
Yeah, I think that's not being like the. You start out like really muscly and lean and defined, and as soon as you get old, you get paunchy and,
right.
and saggy. I mean,
he always kind of had a paunch.
I know from first-hand experience. But yeah, you're right. He always kind of had a little bit of a belly. You never
yeah.
had the six-pack.
Well, I mean, it was how it was like in the early 80s. Like, no one had.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like where the mid-80s were like actual body guys
gotcha.
Started coming in.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, even. Hulk Hogan, you look at him, especially like early 80s, his arms are huge and stuff, but he's not like cut up, like
right.
chest wise and stuff.
With the glamour muscles they're working
on. Right, of course.
Not the.
Your core is nothing.
So, no, this is good. I like they did like a fun little like roll around in a circle.
Yeah. some amateur wrestling because Jack Briscoe knows that, I guess.
And then they did like the bridge up.
Yeah.
So, I like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Jack rolls him up and wins, but then Flair keeps fighting.
Right.
I forget this, and I wrote, and then Wahoo comes back.
Yeah, Wahoo McDaniel
oh,
was
right.
feuding with
that's
Ric Flair
right.
at the time,
yeah,
and he
yeah.
kind of, at first, Flair said he wouldn't wrestle with him in the building, so
that's
he had to
right.
leave.
That's right.
And then he
yeah.
comes back here.
Now I remember. The next, and it's also just interesting to see how, like, the camera work evolves.
Yeah.
The ring itself.
Especially, like, here to, these two matches... The, like this and the next one we saw were at the same place, but like
oh.
different backgrounds and
yeah.
whatnot.
Yeah, no, the next one was Meg and TA, and this is one where the ring was just really rickety.
Yeah.
Anytime it then like went up, it was like...
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, and Rick, so, I mean, he was always good at selling the moves, and so if he... So did he wrestle in the 70s then too, or did he come
Yeah, he started, yeah, he started in like mid-70s,
huh.
and then like
just that stuff wasn't televised as much? Or
yeah, and it was a different territories and
gotcha.
Whatnot. He did, there is a tape of him wrestling in Madison Square Garden in 1975.
Wow.
For the WWF, but he wasn't there. He only did like a couple shots.
WWF?
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. And then in 1975, he got a plane crash where he broke his
oh,
back.
Yeah.
And that, he like was able to recover from that, and it's kind of what like propelled him to.
Wow.
And then he, like, the late 70s, he did a lot of stuff in Mid-Atlantic.
Gotcha.
That area. It's kind of where he built up his cred.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I think we watched a documentary about him once.
Yeah.
About the plane crash. And,
yeah, I think that was the ESPN.
Yeah.
30 for 30.
Oh, yeah, we should watch that again.
Yeah.
I definitely would have more of appreciation for it than I did at the time when I used to just kind of half watch. Now I have 3/4 watch.
Yes. Yeah, so a good match with Magnum T. It's nice and quick. I think it's... The
oh,
thing
yeah.
was...
It was a 10-minute...
A 10-minute, yeah. Flair said
that
he wouldn't be able to last 10 minutes with him.
He did.
He did. And he even almost gets the pin, but...
Yeah, and that was good suplexes, good power moves by Magnum. This was a good... No, yeah, he's a good wrestler. I think he makes other people look good and...
Yeah. Yeah. And he could, like... That's kind of what... you wanted from, especially earlier in the 80s when he was the NWA champ and traveled all over. You'd want him to come in, make your top guy look great, but then at the end it's a count out or DQ or something.
Right.
Where, because then Ric Flair's not going to be there the next week.
Right.
It, your top face could have been like, oh, I had him right where I wanted him, but then, you know, the heel that's always there comes out and attacks him or something.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot. I think when I first started that, I didn't realize the extent of the shenanigans. It seems like it's a pretty, like, standard feature.
Well, yeah, it's not an actual athletic competition. There's going to be workarounds.
That's true. That's true, yeah. It's the sports, the entertainment part of the sports entertainment, right?
Exactly.
Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, we did another 1985.
Yep.
Another clangy ring.
And this was big to have, like, I know all three of these actually took place on WCW Saturday night, but this was, like, the Magnum TA thing was, like, an impromptu challenge.
Oh, okay.
This was, like, a big deal because they had a title match, announced, and it wasn't just, it was, like, a name guy. Like, Ronnie Garvin, he wasn't going to beat Ric Flair on, like, a regular TV show, but he does, a year later, he wins the belt.
Gotcha.
From Ric Flair. So they always were building him up as, like, a guy who could possibly do it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. No, but this was, right here, another loud ring, good ring, so it's more of a brawl. Yeah, Ric Flair, I think this is one of the first times I noticed it when he does the move where he gets suplexed, and he kind of, like, stops, and then he, like, flops, like,
yeah, he always takes it, like, a little different than normal. He doesn't take it flush on his back, like.
Right. Just kind of, and then, like, he stands up and then, like, flops.
Oh, yeah, the Flair flop.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I thought at first, I'm like, oh, that's a good move. Then I realized he does it, like, all the time.
Yeah. And then there's also,
still a good
you notice when he goes in the turnbuckle and flips over it?
Yeah.
That's the Flair flip.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah. All right, now I know all the technology. Cool. Yeah, so it's pretty even most of the time. I remember this one especially.
Yeah.
It was kind of shot for a shot. It wasn't like one person's in charge for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And then that switches and blah, blah, blah. And then I said, yeah, a ton of people run out in the ring, so there's no winner. They all kind of run around. Then he, like, has the energy to have this, like, unhinged promo.
Yeah, I don't know if, he did a quick bump off, while he was off camera or something, but he is fired up.
Yeah, just even, like, if, maybe there was some substances involved, but just, like, the amount of energy.
Yeah.
Oof. I can't imagine. I'm tired after, like, a normal
day. Yeah, and especially, like, the things so before I watched, like, this whole project of, 2 years ago when it started, Ronnie Garvin, I only knew from, like, his WWF days, and he was, like, old and kind of weird. So, but then watching this, it's, like, a whole new thing. Like, he could go in the ring and also just, like, Ric Flair would give him a chop, and then he'd give him, like, a slap back right to the chest. And, like, by the end, both of their chests are, like, beat red.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, excuse me. Yeah, they're even.
Yeah, it was
a lot of it. It's a good match.
It was a good back and forth match, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it always shows at the end it ends weird, but Ric Flair could go with him. It's just at the end they have shenanigans.
Right, right. As I've learned, is a standard feature.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially on a TV show, because you want back then the TV shows built for the house shows. That's where the bigger money was. And then eventually, the biggest money came to pay-per-view, so you built the TV to the pay-per-views.
Gotcha.
And now just have them all as premium live events, because we don't use pay-per-view anymore.
Is that not a term anymore?
No. Now it's premium live events and the award-winning Peacock.
But it's the same concept. You have to pay extra for them, even though we have a Peacock subscription?
We do pay $5 for Peacock, but we get $5 off because we have Comcast.
Oh.
Internet.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. Gosh, that reminds me of the WWE when the network first started. $9.99 a month.
Yeah. Even though it was like $10.61 a month.
No, it's $9.99. Well, now it's a moot point now.
Yeah.
It was up to $10 something for a while. But anyways.
Yeah, they have like that on their flag outside of their corporate building.
Well, gotta commit.
Yep. Then we go forward a little bit to 1991 with him defending the title against Scott Steiner. obviously half of the Steiner brothers.
Yes.
And his brother Rick is down there as well.
Yep, they went to Michigan. I don't know if you knew that.
They've never mentioned. Jim Ross especially has never mentioned where they went to school.
Yeah, and then once again, Rick also does his move where he uses the ropes for the figure four.
Yeah. Well, he gets that added leverage.
Is that like another? Is another term for that?
No, it's just what they always said.
I know that's what they. I know that. Asking.
It hurts more somehow.
Uh huh.
It's one of those things. It's one of those weird physics of wrestling, like
yes,
like an Irish whip.
Right. Oh, I like those too.
Like if you ever think of it, why does the guy run?
Right. They have to. They're
if you're pushed gently, you're going to run and bounce off a pair of ropes.
Obviously. And this is where Scott's got the hungry butt and this his wrestling singlet. But this one was okay.
I think this was one that like should have been better.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because I think they go a little too slow in the beginning. Or it could have even just cut out maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And get to like the heavy hits more. Because that's what Scott Steiner was best at. Like the big high impact moves. Not really working over an arm for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's boring to me anyways.
Right.
Probably to other people too.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want to do a William Regal or Lord Steven Regal month because you probably would have been bored by some of the matches.
Is that all he did?
He was very technical, yeah.
Was it like good or just the idea like we had appreciation?
It was good, but
you kind of had it.
Yeah, I don't know if you gotcha. I could see you like like, I like the 26-minute match with Arn Anderson, but I could see you getting very bored and us having to watch it over multiple nights.
We watched some longer matches. The one that I really remember the most was when they couldn't fall down.
Oh, the Sting versus Vader.
That's a
triangle match.
That's right. But it wasn't really a triangle match.
Right.
Then I'll watch a long match.
Where the mystery hooded man, who will come up in a little bit in one of our matches.
Oh, yeah.
Was also involved in that one.
Oh, yes.
With his karate grip pipe that he hit Sting with.
Yes, well, actually, that was the next one.
Yep. So
that was 94. Yeah, we really did span a lot of time.
Yep. So this was Clash of the Champions, 28. So one of the last ones where Clash of the Champions was huge, because then when Nitro came out, it kind of diminished. Clash of the Champions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, why did they launch Nitro just to compete with Raw?
Yeah.
Okay. Why'd they wait so long?
Well, Raw had only been around 2 years at that point.
Okay, yeah. I'll make myself a timeline.
Right. Because, I mean, they always had TV on Monday, but it was like primetime wrestling. It wasn't that much. I mean, it was a highly rated show, but it wasn't. Raw was like a different feel.
Gotcha.
Just having it, originally weekly, and then they cut back on. There were more tape shows, but still a liver show. More where they went going show? To like canned matches gotcha. In the studio.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair. And early in the night, the mysterious hooded man comes out and hits Hulk Hogan in the knee with his pipe, and Hulk Hogan's knee might be broken. Kneecap could be shattered.
Well, he's hit him in the back. And like you mentioned, the year of this is... It's very timely
for
a certain event with the...
Why?
Yeah. I never watched that Tommy movie.
Yeah.
I'd be wondering if I could find it on a streaming service.
Sure, it's somewhere.
Well, yeah, everything's...
Somewhere, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you could easily buy it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, I don't know. They really, like, hams it up.
Yeah.
You know, Ric Flair is like, come out here, Hogan.
Yeah, he's not going to accept the title by a forfeit unless Hulk Hogan gives it to him, and then Hulk Hogan... storms away from the hospital, back to the arena, and fights him. And this was actually good planning by WCW because the clash before they had in, like, Virginia, and I think we watched the Sting versus Ric Flair match. We watched a lot of Sting versus Ric Flair. But this one is when Sherry turns on Sting and Flair wins.
Yeah.
And that was, like, they were trying to have Ric Flair be, like, the ultra heel. And then Hulk Hogan comes out and Hulk Hogan gets booed because it's in, like, Ric Flair country.
Territory. Oh, okay.
So this was in Ames, or...
Cedar Rapids. Cedar Rapids loves Hulk Hogan.
The Five Seasons Arena, or whatever it was called.
Man, everyone, like, was losing their
minds. Yeah, so this was, like, a good move to, like, hey, let's go to a WWE town where they're going to...
Gotcha.
It's all going to be people that a year ago were cheering for Hulk Hogan.
Yep. Oh, they were cheering for him.
including one grandma who is not a fan of Ric Flair.
That was the best part of this match.
Yes.
Easily.
Do you want to describe it?
So they're fighting outside the ring, right. And there's a woman, like, not a plant, like, she's just sitting there, and she stands up and takes her walker and starts hitting Ric Flair over the, I think, well, she was trying to hit Ric Flair, and she ended up hitting Hulk Hogan.
Right, she was hitting, like, Hogan's shoulder before she could make
action. And she was pretty wily, because she was in the front row, and the security guard was, like, not unsuspecting, for sure, and then she got up, she got a couple whacks, and then the security guard moved her away, and then I think, Hulk Hogan was like, I got him.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan kind of, like, pretended to...
I got him.
Put her mind at ease that the dastardly Ric Flair would not.
Oh yeah,
win the title.
Was well, I can tell you what I wrote for this. I said the crowd loves it. Big star for the Hulk, and the crowd loves it. Pretty dumb match, except for the Kane part.
Yeah, I can see that. And now, originally the plan was for Ric Flair to win the title back, and that set up the retirement match that they eventually had it. Halloween Havoc in the cage.
Right.
But Hulk Hogan decided he didn't want to lose the title. That's why he just lost by count out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course not.
Right.
Seems like a real piece of work.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, well, that's all I'll say about it.
What gives you that idea?
Yeah. So then the masked man comes out again
at
the end. This is when Sting starts flying from
Chicago. Yeah, Sting was flying in from Chicago. Because we didn't listen to it, but they mentioned in a commentary that Sting's in the air to Chicago, and he's going to try and get here before the end of the show, and maybe he'll be able to take Hulk Hogan's place, but that doesn't end up happening.
No. But what were you watching when that came up again?
I think it was Steve Austin versus Ricky Steamboat, because that's on this Clash of the Champions also.
That's a good Clash of the Champions.
Yeah. So I think that match is like right after... We see Hulk go to the hospital, so it's still the topic at hand.
Yeah, I kind of remember during the commentary, like, Sting's flying out from Chicago. I mean, it'd probably be like an hour flight.
Yeah, I mean.
I know it's not real.
Yeah. Sure, he takes.
The logistics don't really matter.
And Sting's a cool guy, so he'd take like a cool helicopter or something.
That would take longer.
It would take a little longer, but it'd be cooler. He's just like hanging on the blade.
That's true, and he's got his own.
He's got the helicopter he flew to the White Castle affair. I kind of always assumed, though, that, like, he had to fly into the Denver airport and like, meet Vader's personal helicopter guy, because Vader doesn't want everyone else to know where his White Castle affair is.
Right. Absolutely.
Because, Stinger, we've been waiting for you.
Okay, we're getting off topic.
Yes, just a little bit.
The match itself, like I said, not great. It was just more... Make Hulk Hogan look good.
And yeah.
The crowd just lost their freaking minds.
It was, though, for, I believe...
And Hulk Hogan bit him, which is gross.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan is a cheater. Bites, back scratches, does all of it. He's a heel.
Also doesn't surprise me.
So this, though, I think, at least for 4 years, maybe 5 years, was the highest rated match in cable wrestling history. Yeah. It was a big deal.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there were two very big names.
This was Hulk Hogan's second match in WCW.
Oh, okay.
After he won the title, this was the first rematch.
Oh, what was his first match against?
Against Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Did we watch that?
Yeah, it was Bash at the Beach with Shaquille O'Neal's involved. And
of course he is.
Because why wouldn't he be?
That's right. Gotcha. Yeah, well, this was... Like I said, that old lady, she's
yep, the best. She's your MVP.
Oh, yeah. And then we go to your guy.
Yep. So then we go to Super Brawl 6 in 1996, where it's Ric Flair along with Woman by his side, with Randy Savage along with Miss Elizabeth by his side. And this was kind of weird because Miss Elizabeth had just come back like 3 weeks earlier with Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan. Everyone knew they were divorced, but they didn't really, like, mention it.
Hmm.
So, but they just said, like, oh, she's our manager now. She's going to help guide us.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep. And so they have this big cage match, and eventually you were saying, like, oh, they're not using the cage too much. And then...
In the beginning, yeah.
Then they use the cage, though.
Well, then Randy Savage goes up. I guess you don't want to, like, do it. But usually in the beginning of cage matches, they'll, like, go, like, for the raking.
Yeah, they'll do the rake to start, at least.
But, yeah, there's no raking, just nothing. And then Randy Savage, they get up on the top of the cage. I knew he was going to do that.
Right.
I guess it was a little later than I thought. Yeah, I said a slugfest. Oh, Ric Flair knocked out the ref, which seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, and it was kind of weird he does it. I think it's just to show, like, there's no DQ in the match. Like, you can do whatever you want. Because
the ref
gets back up rather quickly. Because usually, like, a shoulder block knocks them out. And
it's Harry
gets punched and
kicked.
And 30 seconds later, he's back in it.
Yeah. Well, the reaction's not proportionate to the action. But... Now then, Ric Flair pulls down his tights pretty far.
Yeah, his butt is showing.
How do they like play those? Like, how do they make sure they don't like totally expose his junk?
They just kind of go hope for the best.
Yeah,
I mean they're tight pants, so if you pull them down a little bit, they're not. I mean, I'm sure there's been a few times where it's popped out, but
yeah, I mean, just like they're down pretty far, they kept falling down the rest of the match.
Yeah, he then like retie his drawstring or something. It looks like.
Yeah, that was a little. It was fine.
It was a little cheeky for the end.
I like Shawn Michaels is better, we'll say, of the two, but...
Yeah, I don't think Ric Flair was into tanning his ass at the time.
I didn't notice, I don't remember if there's any tan lines on his butt, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty white.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go back and
check out
it.
Ric Flair's ass.
There's tan lines on his booty. But then Miss Elizabeth turns on Randy Savage and gives Ric Flair her shoe. And she then gouges Randy Savage with it. And then he wins. Oh, and this is all the cage, like, creaked open. This is pretty janky.
Yeah. Yeah, they, like, whip him into the cage and the door, like flies open. Yeah. And then the referee has to, like, re-lock it. And it's, like, a rusty chain link fence, which is, like, that's one thing that, like, back then, even Vince McMahon would, like, never allow. Like, he'd see a rusty chain in an early meeting, and he'd be like, no, someone has to go to the store and buy a better chain right now.
Yeah. Oh, gotta have high standards.
Yep.
WCW did not have this.
Not so much. And at this time, a woman's high heel is, like, a deadly weapon in WCW. Because, as you notice, Hulk Hogan came out with the eye patch. It was because of woman's high heel shoe a couple weeks earlier.
Oh, wow.
They were... Dangerous weapons, yeah.
Yeah, well then, speaking of, Hulk Hogan comes out after this match and gets all mad.
Yep, and he just kind of hits Arn Anderson a few times with a chair.
Yeah, Arn Anderson comes out too, of course.
Well, yeah, he's happy for his friend Ric Flair.
His cousin.
His cousin. Yeah, they're cousins, if you didn't know.
I did not. So yeah, that was fine. I mean, it's definitely a different kind of flavor to these later matches.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stalling in that one also to start.
I mean, they're both kind of...
It's like about 3 minutes before they actually make contact.
That's true, yeah. The next match is just a disaster. I'm going to call it a disaster.
Well, it's Team Package versus the Brothers in Paint.
What?
Yeah. Team Package, Luger and Flair.
Because why that? Because the total package?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I actually know what Brothers in Paint
The Brothers in Paint of Vampire and Sting.
They were really reaching there. This is when Lex Luger was like a juiced up.
Yeah, he was like, he could barely move. He was like an action figure, but like 1980s LGN big rubber figure. Now, he didn't have the many points of articulation that you get nowadays.
Right.
He only could move up and down pretty much.
Yeah, his arms... Not a large range of motion. But yeah, more of like a Sting and Lex Luger match.
Yeah.
There are mostly the cameras on them because they ran out. They went over to the pool. And then Lex Luger got suplexed into the pool.
Right.
Which is a little dangerous.
Yeah, back body dropping.
That's right. Sorry.
Him when he's
by the concrete
300 pounds and like dead weight.
Well, at the end when in the ocean when he like pile drove, I was like, they got to make sure he gets him up enough.
Yeah.
That one looked dangerous to me.
Yeah, especially because they're both soaking wet.
Right.
So, and another 10 pounds.
Yeah. And then they ended up by this quote-unquote snack bar. Just happened to have a big like bowl of chocolate pudding and like nachos.
But, yeah. Because, you know, that's what you always serve together.
Gross.
Just chocolate and salsa.
I was glad to see them in the ocean because then just
to wash them off.
Yeah, all the sand they got in them too.
Yeah, they wrestled on the beach for a little bit. And there's plenty of fans trying to get... Yeah. 5 minutes of fame.
Right, yeah. They didn't want to interfere with the wrestlers. They just wanted
wanted to flash in front of the camera.
And go, woo, it's pretty big.
Yep. That's what you do.
Yeah, when there's a camera, you got to act like an idiot. Say, woo, it's pretty big. Oh, man. But Ric Flair, I guess they technically Lost?
Yeah, because his partner gets pile driven in the ocean and the ref makes a very dramatic three count, slapping the water each time.
Yeah. Well, what was happening like with Vampiro and Ric Flair? Just
like, they had kind of... Luger had been feuding with Sting, and Luger and Flair had teamed up, because Hogan was feuding with Flair, and then they kind of had... Luger was attacking Sting again, and Vampiro came out to help him, because Sting had helped him a few weeks earlier or something. So they kind of just slowly had them coming together.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of, I'm just wondering, is there a version of that match where you just see Ric Flair and Vampiro the whole time?
No, I'm sure they had singles matches. But...
No, I mean, in that match you watched.
Like, oh, like a camera view of it? Not really, I think they kind of just...
They weren't really doing much.
They were just kind of like
rolling around
background in the ring while everything was actually going on.
Because I'm sure everyone was just watching the screens.
Right, yeah.
And something like that, like, how do you plan that? Because like, I know they got to just kind of tell them, like, run around to the pool, or run around with a snack
bar. Yeah, probably, like,
the ocean.
See, like, what areas they can do things in. Probably walk through it earlier in the day, like, do this, that.
And Miss Elizabeth is running around.
Like, yep, in her high heels, which is tough to do on the beach and by that pool.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was probably used to walking at that point.
That's true.
So, yeah, and then we watched some promos. So it was nice to see the alligator.
Yep. Alligator shoes promo,
Yeah, once again, kind of similar beads. Like, I wear a roll. I have a $100 pleated slip. I don't wear that outfit. That's embarrassing.
Your shirt costs $200. I don't know how much yours wears. I'd be embarrassed to wear it.
That's good. Did you really have sex with all these women?
A lot of them, I think.
The first one, the women, like the helicopter, I was like...
Ooh. Yeah, that was kind of odd.
Yeah. Is he like a Dr. J type character? Is that the best one?
Yeah, kind of, I think
he like,
yeah.
Had sex with about, like 10,000 women
I think
something.
Ric Flair's made that claim as well, But...
Probably can't believe it. It's
self-reported. Someone ran the math and it would be... staggering.
Yeah, no. I really don't want to think about the actual number, but... You know, is he married now?
Yeah, I think number 4 or 5.
Okay, yeah.
It's, Fifi the Maid.
Now? Really?
Yeah.
Oh! How about it?
But, like, you know, after WCW, they went their separate ways, and then, like, I don't know, now 6 or 7 years ago, they met up at, like, a wrestling convention.
Oh, that's funny.
Hit it off.
Good for them.
Hit her. Fluff his...
Space Mountain?
Yes. Space Mountain had some dust on it she had to dust off with her feather duster.
Uh-huh, I'm sure she did. Okay, one last time. Tell me what these
are. Yep, so we got Nuance, which is longevity, face heel, tag team.
I mean, I'm going to give them pretty high scores. Say
9.5. All right, yep.
What are you giving them?
Yeah, I'd give him it also. I was trying to think of Dingham, but, like, as a babyface, he's really good. As a heel, he's, like,
yeah,
the only,
tag,
like, he's the best heel, but he's still good as a face also.
Jump up.
Jay is jump, yeah, jump. So, like, big matches, big moments.
I give it because of the lady with the cane.
Yes, that could be a jump up moment.
A jump up moment.
Historical moment of.
I think I have a little different context. I don't have all the...
Right.
I have more of the history than I did before, but like when you told me that was the most watched cable match, I guess, because of Hogan. And,
right.
I mean, I knew who Hogan was from the Mr. Nanny movie.
Right, of course. That's how everyone knew him.
When did that come out?
I think 93.
Yeah, that was one of the few movies we had on VHS. Oh, the beginning was so scary. The mob boss, like, making the guy for, like, the golf team and stuff. Ah. Anyways. I guess 9?
Yeah. I'm going to go 9.5 just because all the title wins. And
I was going to say, what's like your favorite Ric Flair moment that we've watched this this kind of last month?
Last month?
Like the match we just reviewed.
Yeah. Of those... probably the Ryan Garvin match.
Okay, yeah.
I kind of like just two guys beating the hell out of each other.
Yep. Old school.
And then P is promos.
Oh, 10.
Yeah. The Space Mountain Nuts.
Yeah.
I'm also going to go 10. And then W is work rate.
Yeah, pretty good from start to finish. Super sloppy match with notwithstanding. 9.5.
Yeah, I'm also going to go... I'll go 9 just to be a little different, just because there is quite a drop-off towards the end.
Yeah, yeah, from what we've watched.
It wasn't like he was horrible. It was just he wasn't the best wrestler in the world anymore.
Right.
That equals some?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enter. And then just hit the little check marker.
Yep. So all we both right, came out at 38.
Yeah, which makes sense. Definitely the highest. Yep,
the highest. The next would be Cactus Jack, actually.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
And then Vader. Steve Austin, actually.
I had pretty high.
High.
Yeah. Arn Anderson, 32.5. I think I got to go back now that I've seen them all. Might have to kind of readjust.
Readjust, yeah.
Because Sting should not be below Arn Anderson.
Yeah. Well.
I think it's Mick Foley because they had such a high promo.
Yeah.
And the first one. Yeah. Okay. Well.
No, I think that makes... Ric Flair being the number one makes sense. Yeah. That's pretty unarguable.
Yeah, actually, like, Sting, Vader, Cactus Jack, kind of all around.
I obviously didn't go straight by the point value. I kind of mixed it up a little bit.
You have Brian Pillman high, Bobby Eaton kind of mid lane, Dusty Rhodes sitting head low.
Score. Just low match. Right. Like, and by that time it was, I mean, really what we watched was kind of like the end of his career. So it was towards the end. So it's not like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he wrestled in the late 60s. So.
I can see that. Right, yeah. He was like, it's like watching Ric Flair, watching Dusty Rhodes in the 80s, like watching Ric Flair in the 2000s.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. I get it.
That was a good one. Good job.
Thanks. Good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was why he had such a little work rate.
Yeah. So this closes the book on the greatest WCW wrestlers ever. And now what they're doing and what we're going to partake in is the greatest WWE ever list revisited.
Oh.
So there was one in 2017. And now it's being updated.
Oh, wow. With new matches or just kind of
Reconsidering the different wrestlers and how things have played out.
How history has treated them.
Yeah, like there's... Like here, I'll just show you my list very quickly. Like 1 through 5 isn't going to change because they haven't wrestled at all.
Oh, it's the wrestler.
Not matches.
You said matches, I think.
No, so like, you know, okay, John Cena's had like 3 matches.
He has a show on
TBS. Wipeout.
HBO.
Peacemaker.
Yeah. I saw the screen, home screen. I was kind of confused by it. He's like a superhero, but he's like not an inept one.
Yeah, well, kind of. He was in Suicide Squad. Yeah. And it's like a spinoff
I've lost interest. Okay, so
Randy Savage, nothing's happened in the last 5 years that changes my opinion of him.
Gotcha. So this is greatest WWE wrestler.
Right.
Okay. And think any new people are going to pop on the list?
Well, Daniel Bryan was 13. He's going to raise very high.
Fair enough.
And also Roman Reigns, who was 28 at the time. He might be like top 10.
Okay.
Because of the last year and a half, he's been the man.
Sergeant Slaughter up pretty high.
Yeah. And also I don't know why I have The Rock. At 22.
Yeah, I noticed that.
He should be top 10, probably. So.
Okay, well, I have a chance to
revisit him. Oh, I've got him on the books already.
Okay.
But the first person we're going to look at is actually going to be Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay.
So, because he had a lot going for him in 2017, but 2018 was when he came back.
Oh, okay.
So that's a lot of what he did in the last 2 years of his career in WWF was pretty big.
Are we going to watch any of his AEW stuff?
No, that's not eligible. This is Daniel Bryan over only. No Bryan Danielson.
Gotcha. Okay, so basically you could just keep this Google Doc for the next 15 years. Just add a column
every
5 years.
Yeah.
See how your opinions change. Yeah, CM Punk, that's pretty high. Okay, well, yeah, good. So we'll start with Daniel Bryan, definitely changing it up from...
Yeah, so this will be...
Yeah, back
to more... Well, kind of still technical wrestling, but yeah, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston will be a little different than Ric Flair versus Ronnie Garvin in 1985.
True, true, true. But cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. All right. Thanks for listening.
Yep. You want to go ride Space Mountain one time?
Only if you get me that shirt.
I'll do my best. Bye, everyone.
Bye.